Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about the Tulsa Zoo's new master plan, a 20-year, $150 million makeover which will include new exhibits, new groupings of animals, and five new geographically inspired exhibit areas. The African Forest, featuring the chimpanzee exhibit and a new gorilla exhibit. The African Plains, featuring new groupings of species there. Wild Islands, which will incorporate the new Helmerich Sea Lion Cove. Lost Kingdom of the Tigers, and Sheepy Hollow, a new area for families. The master plan goes before the city council later this month for final approval and marks the first major initiative of the zoo's new private management team, Tulsa Zoo Management Incorporated. Joining me is Terry Correll, CEO, to talk about the plan and why it's needed for today's Tulsa Zoo. Terry Correll, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
It's been a little over a year since the zoo management transitioned from the city to private management, and I guess probably a large part of that time has been in developing this new master plan. Give us a sense of how long the zoo's been working on making the next decade or so of improvements.
Well, as part of our city operating agreement, we had to commission a master plan, and we began that process actually a year ago this March. And we commissioned a firm from St. Louis, Missouri, called PGAV, and they specialize in zoo and attraction design. And they took us through a process of examining the zoo, the exhibits that we had. We conducted a SWOT analysis. We looked at our competitive market, what zoos were within a 2 and 4 hour driving distance, for instance, Oklahoma City, Sedgwick County in Wichita, Kansas City, Springfield, Missouri. So we looked at our competitive market. We looked at our attendance trends, the highs and the lows over the last 20 years, what brought people to the zoo when they came out to the zoo. And then we also took a look at our guest experience. What was the guest seeing when they came to the zoo? What were they experiencing? You know, what was working, what wasn't working? And then finally, we looked at the exhibits themselves. Many of our exhibits are old style, were state-of-the-art in the 60s, but no longer meet the mark now. And so we took all of that information and we rated our facility and with various aspects, looked at where we were succeeding, where we could improve, and where we needed to get in and make some changes.
So before we actually talk about what you came up with, as you started critically examining the zoo, what were the strengths, what were the weaknesses of the zoo?
Well, we felt one of our strengths was the park-like setting. We have a good staff, quality staff that are professional, that know the zoo business. Some of the weaknesses that we had were some of our decaying infrastructure, old-style exhibits, that we could bring a better product to our visitors and to the community that would also be a source of revenue as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at the zoo, you see the exhibits that have been done in the last few years are, you know, they're incredibly well done. You know, when you look at the Living Museum, they were state-of-the-art at the time they were built, but there really hasn't been much attention given to those over the last few years. And then you have like the grottos, which go back to the WPA, and those are really, really old style exhibits. So I assume you're looking at those really old WPA sort of exhibit spaces as the first priority?
We did rate that. That came out in our rating system for the exhibits. We looked at message, you know, the infrastructure, you know, the visitor experience, the back of the house, you know, when it came to the exhibits, and the old-style grottos, which were actually built in the early 60s.
Oh, really? Okay.
With the bears, the lions, tigers, those actually were failing. They scored so lowly. Those are being prioritized as being first that we need to address. But we also rolled out a timeline, and because of where certain exhibits are, some need to be addressed before a new exhibit can be built. For instance, Lost Kingdom of the Tigers, which is one of the new proposed major exhibits in the master plan, we physically need to move our tigers and snow leopards to the Asian part of the zoo. That would free up space then to develop our African area. So there's some of that that needs to be addressed as well as we move forward. So
that seems to be the big thematic element then. And that's going on across the country is sort of understanding the animals where they live, as opposed to lions, tigers, and bears, which come from four continents.
Right.
As they are now, right.
We want to make those connections with people. We want to give them an immersive experience. We want it to be fun. We want people to come out and learn about animals and natural places. And so we want to put the animals in the right setting with a modern exhibit that people can really become engaged in and actually experience, you know, the animal, experience the kind of habitat they might live in. And so that's what we hope to accomplish with the master plan. And for instance, with Sheepy Hollow, the new children's zoo, that's a totally new concept. And in that particular area of the zoo, anything goes. It's kind of a fantastical adventure, almost like an Alice in Wonderland experience where parents and children can both learn and explore the natural world. And we're looking at putting animals from all over the world in that particular area of the zoo.
Mm-hmm. But in general, the geographic element of seeing, for example, now, otters may, in fact, stay in that children's area, but otters in general, you'd want to put them with like-minded animals, right?
Right. You'd want our particular otters could be in the children's zoo, but they could also be in North America. And so what we hope to do is put, you know, the Andean bears that we currently have, they'll be moving over to our near our tropical American rainforest, and we'll be expanding our jaguar exhibit. So we'll be putting those animals that are in Central and South America near the TARF building. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for wild islands to do an island theme of animals that might exist on islands. So we could, say, mix our California sea lions with the new Helmerich Sea Lion Cove opening alongside lemurs from Madagascar, because the theme that threads it together would be islands.
Or your Aldabra
tortoises
as well.
Right, the Aldabra tortoises, correct.
Well, this is very exciting. So before we actually talk about the specifics of each of these areas, where does the master plan sit now? It's been approved by the Park Board. It has to go before the City Council. What's the feedback are you hearing from the City Council yet?
They haven't seen it yet, unless that they've been reading about it. The first step was to put it forward to the Park Board.
What was the Park Board's reaction?
The Park Board was thrilled to see it. They thought it was an excellent plan. They thought it would be a real game changer for the community, that it would really add a lot to our community, you know, for parents to come, for families to come, just a great place to come out and have some fun and learn as well. Mm-hmm. And so the next step then would be to work with city officials to get it on the council agenda, and we're aiming in a few weeks to do that.
Okay, so you looked at a critical assessment of where the zoo stands today. Tell us what you came up with your consultants, and what's the zoo going to look like down the road?
Well, this is a 20-year plan, and it's designed to have major exhibits opening every few years, and then in those off years, there'll be other improvements to the zoo that will be lesser-sized exhibits that'll be opening up.
So I wanted to stop you for a second. That means that if you come to the zoo every year, you're going to see something different, pretty much.
Well, it's,
you know, maybe it won't
exactly.
Be, it might be a new landscaping or something like that.
It might be new landscaping or renovated, expanded jaguar exhibit, for instance, as opposed to a totally new tiger exhibit. Mm-hmm. So there will be new things to see, new guest amenities. Not only are we going to be addressing the animal exhibits, we'll be looking at, you know, additional food, retail, shady areas. And one of the things that we're most excited about is that in our wild islands area, we're actually going to be featuring water play. And that will be a great bonus to the zoo, because in July and August, when it's so hot, we'll still have people that will want to come out and visit the zoo that can take advantage of the water play and
just cool off.
And cool off, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so with some of our major exhibits that will be opening up, we Lost Kingdom of the Tiger, and that is the exhibit that we've prioritized first, that we would like to see open first. And it not only includes tigers, but it includes snow leopards. Komodo dragons will be added, along with some smaller species of primates and birds as well. And that will allow us then to move on and eventually renovate add things to our African area.
Yeah. Give us a sense of what the Lost Kingdom of the Tiger will look like. Can you give us a sense? I know you're still in the conceptual stage, but you sort of have some ideas of what this experience will be. Will it be very immersive, like the rainforest? What exactly?
Well, the experience, that it will be an immersive one for guests to come in and walk through the exhibit. It'll be a journey, if you will, where they'll actually explore the realm of the animal world. And through this journey, it's being themed as an Indiana Jones meets the Lion King. And through this journey that people will embark on through Lost Kingdom of the Tiger, they'll learn about the world of the tiger. And along the way, there'll be snow leopards and Komodo dragons. So it'll be like an ancient feel, one of ruins that they'll walk through and discover tigers.
Mm-hmm. And you're adding a new exhibit, too, with the Komodos, too.
Right. That will be a new exhibit. We currently have a very, very young Komodo dragon at our conservation building at the zoo, and we'll be adding a Komodo dragon exhibit. These are the largest lizards in the world, growing over 6 feet in length, and they are a threatened species. And so we're excited to participate in a conservation breeding program with those animals as well with other accredited zoos.
Now, how much of the master plan will be coming up with new accommodations for the animals you already have, and how much will be actually acquiring new exhibits and new species of animals to exhibit?
Well, it'll be a little bit of a combination of both. For instance, we have Malayan tigers and we have snow leopards. So those animals will be moved into a new state-of-the-art facility because their exhibits are in need of total replacement. We will be adding new species like gorillas. For instance, when we open our African forest area, the chimpanzees will get an additional exhibit yard, along with a climbing structure, and will then also add gorillas in a phase of the master plan to that area. And the long-term plan is to have a area where the chimps can be in one yard one day, and then the next day they go to a different yard, and then the gorillas can go into the yard that the chimps were in. And that way there's what we call enrichment, so that the gorillas will get a sense that the chimps were around somewhere and may look for them and stimulate them in some way, you know, to go looking for them. And then those are called rotating exhibits, where you have a shared space that the animals can go on one day, go in with one group, the next day another group. So that'll add a little bit of excitement for both the chimps and the gorillas. And then some excitement for the visitor will be a zip line and a climbing structure in that area. And that the African forest will have a misty jungle quality to it.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously with the existing chimp enclosure, you sort of have that nice natural habitat, but it's you're obviously going to be changing the landscaping of that to sort of accommodate that jungle feel. Right,
right, and adding to it. So yeah, that's the case where it's not a totally new exhibit, but we'll be adding and expanding on the area for the chimps, as well as then adding gorillas in the new space for them.
And you brought up a point that a lot of people when they visit the zoo may not necessarily think about, but the stimulation of the animals. This is a primary concern for zookeepers and zoologists around the world, is making sure that the animals you have, you know, it's not never going to be the wild, but they have to have that sort of new experiences every day. And that's a big part of how you design these structures, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We actually have a curator of behavioral husbandry at mm-hmm. the Tulsa Zoo. And she has her charge is to develop an enrichment and training program for the animal collection. And so you want to give animals a job to do, if you will. And so our zookeepers, our animal care staff, that's part of their daily routine. Is it may be throwing seeds out or treats out on the chimp island, so the chimps forage all day looking for food like they might in the wild. Sometimes it may be taking perfume. Calvin, I don't want to give a plug for Calvin Klein, but Calvin Klein obsession seems to be very stimulating in the animal world, and that perfume is used to spray.
Might be in the human world too, actually.
Is used in a lot of the exhibits. Will spray it, and you know the animals will look, you know, and explore where that scent is and what it. Where it is in their exhibit. So we also do behaviors that we actually train animals to do. So, for instance, our tigers, we might actually, in their holding area, of course, we would have them come up to the caging in their interior space so the veterinarian can get an examination of them, you know, visually, or we may train them to place their paw in a certain area so we can look, you know, if they have anything in their paw or things like that. So we have a very active program, enrichment training program.
I would imagine a new habitat for your tigers. I mean, given the fact that those were built in the early 60s, I mean, there's just not much you can do. You know, you can do a lot more with a new facility.
Right, and you could design certain things in. For instance, the guest experience, and you can create a view window and actually put in a heated rock or cool air that might blow on the animals. So in the summer, they're laying next to the window because it's cool. In the wintertime, they're laying on the hot rock because it's warm. And then the visitor comes through on their journey, and, you know, there's a tiger up close for them to view and appreciate.
And you also have to have room for that animal when they get stressed by crowds to be able to leave the area, too.
Right. You have, in any of these new immersive exhibits, you create spaces where the animal can hide, if you will. And that might be a rocky area that they would feel secure, where they might lay their back against the rocks, but you could still view them from a certain sight line within the exhibit. It may not be next to the window, but it might be at another location in the exhibit.
Yeah. My guest today is Terry Correll, the CEO of Tulsa Zoo Management Incorporated. The Tulsa Zoo has just produced a new master plan. It's been approved by the Park Board. It's pending approval by the City Council, and she joins us today to talk about the master plan. And again, it's five new areas. We talked about the Lost Kingdom of the Tiger. We've talked a little bit about the African Forest, which will include a new gorilla exhibit, which is exciting. You're going to revamp your African Plains section. So where the giraffes are and the zebras and some of the plains species, you're going to revamp that. Give us that will also involve, this will be down the road because this will involve where the grottos are now.
Correct,
right?
Correct. The African Plains will be like a backpacking adventure in the bush. And that's the conceptual theme that we went with. And we'll be moving our current rhinos to a new exhibit in that area. We'll be adding additional antelope exhibits along with creating a new lion exhibit that will be on par with the tiger exhibit. I'll be adding animals like African wild dogs and perhaps Red River hogs, other primate species, and other carnivore species as well. So ultimately, what you can do in that area is go out on near our Chapman Event Lodge, and there'll be a deck. You can actually view out onto the African Plain and glimpse the antelope, the giraffe. And we'll also be expanding our giraffe yard as well, and putting in winter viewings into a expanded giraffe barn. And with our rhino exhibit, the same thing will happen. We'll be putting in a day window in their barn, so in the wintertime, people can still see the rhinos in their boma barn.
We alluded to the children's area, but you're going to revamp that. And that's something that gets revamped quite often over, it seems like over about once every generation, you sort of have to change because the taste of kids, I would think, changes. But you're going to looking at a new revamping of the children's zoo.
Yeah, our new children's area will be called Sheepy Hollow, and that'll be a fantastical adventure where there might be mushrooms to climb on, a kind of an Alice in Wonderland type feel. There'll be a one-way entrance, one-way out, so parents will feel comfortable letting their children play, and they can sit there and observe or they can, you know, play with them. There'll be lots to do and lots to learn in that area. And we might have a lot of different fun animals that you might not think about, things like kangaroos, or we might continue to keep our otters there, red pandas, maybe tree kangaroos. So there might be lots of different kinds of animals to see other than just our domestic animals, which we'll still continue to have because we want people to be able to get up close and actually touch and experience an animal. And oftentimes, you know, the children's zoo and the petting corral is the only time that kids might be able to experience that now.
We have to remember there's a lot of kids in the city who've never been anywhere near a farm.
That's right. There's actually been studies done on a nature deficit with kids, and we want to take that opportunity to have kids experience nature. You know, what it feels like to touch a goat, or what it feels like to be up close to a tiger when there's nothing but that view window to separate you to see how magnificent these animals are. And I don't think people know that there's less than 3,200 tigers that remain in the wild, and that there's a real fear that in my grandchildren's lifetime, these animals will become extinct.
Mm-hmm. At least in the wild, yeah.
Extinct in the wild, yes.
Yeah. Another big goal of this master plan is to improve the navigation of the zoo. And anybody who spends time at the zoo, it's a walk. It's a good walk, but it is a big walk, especially for parents with young kids. So you're looking at improving the navigation. How's that going to work?
Well, if you've been out to the Tulsa Zoo, like you said, it's a little bit convoluted. Our pathways are, and sometimes people miss things. And what our master plan will do will be to streamline and simplify the wayfinding.
So there's one way to go.
There's one way to go. It's a bow tie, if you will, and the exhibits will be off the pathway. And so and each exhibit area, each zone will have an iconic feature, so people will be drawn from one area to the next. And then we'll also be looking at installing a third train station, and people will be able to move within the zoo and using the train as a way to travel around the zoo.
Yeah. Well, my guest today, Terry Correll, the CEO of Tulsa Zoo Management, as we talk about their new master plan, which is still pending official approval by the city council, but it's moving through a system, and it's a 20-year master plan. Looks at, you know, five new areas. The last area we haven't really talked about a whole lot is Wild Islands. We did speak a little bit about it, but this is where the first big exhibit is, which has already been worked on, and it's going to open here in just a couple of weeks, and that's the Helmerich Sea Lion Cove.
Yes. Wild Islands is going to be the game changer for the zoo during the summer, because in this area, it will feature water play. And the conceptual theme that we worked off of for Wild Islands was a quirky Gilligan's Island adventure that's been shipwrecked. There'll be a shipwreck for people to explore. We'll move our Aldabra tortoises. We'll renovate our lemur exhibits. We'll do the same with our flamingos. So we'll bring together island species in this location. And the other thing that we're going to be doing in this area is adding additional food and retail and shaded areas as well. So it'll be a very comfortable place for people to hang out, especially in July and August.
All right. That's the fifth area. Now, we haven't really talked about the North American Living Museum. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe further down the road as far as renovating those? Because, you know, they were great when they were first built, but of course, you know, there really hadn't been a whole lot of money put into them where the visitor can see. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's lots of money that's still put into them, you know, they were state-of-the-art for the late 70s and early 80s, not 2020.
Right. One of the things that we're doing right now is these buildings are actually undergoing a renovation, if you will, through the city of Tulsa for infrastructure. A lot of back-of-the-house things are taking place right now in these buildings for things, mechanical systems, heating and cooling, roofing. We'll be expanding the grizzly bear exhibit that will be in the tundra section of the zoo. With the master plan, you know, a little further out in our master plan, we will be addressing these buildings, expanding the bear yards, both black bear and grizzly bear, looking at adding some more outdoor North American animals. We're also looking at repurposing some of these buildings. For instance, the forest and desert building in the long-term future, we're looking at turning those into educational spaces and classroom spaces because we need more classroom spaces. And then using the lowlands building for continued animal exhibits for reptiles, amphibians, and birds. So long-term, this area will be receiving a facelift with new North American animals added. Potentially, Mexican wolves or red wolves. We've talked about bighorn sheep or pronghorn antelope. So it's just a little further out in the master plan.
All right. Well, this one of the things this is going to do, this is really going to fill your footprint where the zoo is by the time this master plan is complete. You know, you have some wide open spaces still in the zoo property. This will really fill out the zoo.
Yes, it will. It will fill in the void in the middle of the zoo and actually at the front of the zoo. When people come into the front of the zoo, it takes a little bit to find the first exhibit. And so what we will do is address that with Lost Kingdom of the Tiger, the expanded African forest with the chimpanzees and the gorillas. We'll be looking at redoing the front entryway as well as part of this project. And when people come into the zoo, the tone will immediately be set for their zoo adventure to begin. And there'll still be plenty of room for open space. We're not going to fill every nook and cranny, but there'll definitely be a different look and a more filled-in look.
How much is this going to cost? Do we know?
The master plan's estimated to be over $150 million, mm-hmm. and it's over 20 years. This is not unlike other zoo master plans in other cities. For instance, the Kansas City Zoo, their 10-year master plan is $100 million. And the same at the Indianapolis Zoo. Their 10-year plan was for $100 million. And our neighbor to the west, Oklahoma City, their master plan was well over $150 million as well.
Mm-hmm. And it will be mainly private sources or?
Well, we're researching all of our options right now. The master plan will roll out, of course, over 20 years in phases. And we're researching, all of our options for both private and public funding right now.
All right. If people want to learn more about the master plan and just about what's going on at the zoo, what's the best way to do that?
I think the best way is just to go to our website, tulsazoo.org, and you can find out all the activities that are going on. For instance, during spring break, we're going to be offering educational classes. We have Helmerich Sea Lion Cove opening March 17th. So I would just visit our website and find out more about us.
All right. Well, Terry, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Something tells me it's all happening at the zoo.
Terry Correll is the CEO of Tulsa Zoo Management Incorporated. The master plan goes before the city council at the end of this month or early next month. You can learn more about the master plan at tulsazoo.org.
The monkeys stand for honesty, giraffes are insincere.
Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
Zookeepers are reactionaries, antelopes are missionaries, pigeons locked in secrecy, and hamsters.